Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of Cybersecurity Matters. I'm your lovable co-host, Dominic Vogel. Joining me, as always, is my somewhat lovable co-host, Mr. Christian Redshaw. Christian, who do we have in the hot seat today?
Well, depends who you talk to. Most people would say I'm at least somewhat lovable. So
that's true, you are.
That's good. Kathy McDonald is actually our guest today. She is formerly of the Calgary Police Department and now president of Global Cybersecurity Courses. And we are looking forward to bringing her in and having an awesome chat. She's, I'm sure, full of wisdom and full of amazing stories to share with us.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to meet her a few years ago when I was in Calgary. I think it was the only time I actually visited Calgary, but fantastic person. Really looking forward to the convo. So I'm going to shut up. We're going to bring in Kathy, and let's start that epic convo shortly.
Kathy, it's great to have you on. Thank you so much for joining Dominic and I on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
Kathy, we're so very much looking forward to this conversation. And I'm trying to remember when you and I first met. I'm going to say it was maybe 2 years ago. I remember meeting you in Calgary at an event. And this was all pre-COVID when we were allowed to travel and everything. But I'd love for you to share a bit about your personal narrative and your story with our audience to sort of wind people through what you've been through and what's brought to where you are today.
Oh, well, thanks, Dominic. Yeah, it was a real pleasure to meet you. It was in Calgary that we did meet, and I remember you were speaking, and you're very engaging, and it was lots of fun.
I try to be fun.
My background, I was a police officer for 25 years, retired in about 2013. And for the past, I guess, the 12 or so years before I retired, I really got into the area of cyber awareness training and education. I was working in the crime prevention unit, and I just really enjoyed going out into the community and talking about cyber crime, cyber risk, cyber bullying, internet safety, and all of that. And it just seemed like the more we went out as a group in the crime prevention unit, the more requests we would get for information. And people were, they would ask many questions about what problems they were having. And so we were able to tailor the presentation to really identify and address some of the issues in the community. And I think out of that, I was really passionate about the education portion of that. And after I retired, I mean, I was really fortunate to attend so many conferences and meet so many great people while I was in the police service. But after I retired, I thought, I'm going to continue doing this. So I formed a company. I go out and I do keynote presentations and lunch and learns. And I still go into the schools and just spread the information as much as possible, because I think it is so important. And that's really how I got involved.
That's so cool that you're still, you see the value in providing that type of information, because there's still so much misinformation and misunderstanding around so many of those subjects. So I think that's fantastic that you still take that baton and run with that. That's amazing, Kathy.
Yeah, thanks.
So Kathy, go ahead. I was going to say, you do a number of these presentations and talks. I'll let you say what you were going to say first, and then I've got a question for you.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, we as police officers are in a special, situation in that we hear many stories. And so the ability to share some of the stories and the learnings of victims and people that are put into situations. And I think that storytelling has really got an impact on people, and they can relate and associate to the situations. Yeah. And so that has been particularly, I think, important and helpful in going out to speak to people. So anyway, sorry about that, Christian. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'd love to hear some of these stories. So among all the talks that you do, what is the one that has been the most in demand, or the one that you most find yourself giving?
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, depends on the audience. And I often do tailor the presentation just to fit the audience. So if I was going into a school or a school board, for an example, I would talk more around social media and privacy and cyberbullying. You know, I would talk a bit about grooming and the laws around cyberbullying and luring. And, you know, if I was going into a corporate setting, it would be more around social engineering and phishing and spear phishing, business email compromise and fraud and those kinds of subjects.
You know, it's so interesting to talk to you because your background is policing, and I bet you have seen some things that you probably couldn't even talk to us about today. But we would love to understand, you know, from your perspective and your understanding, what that kind of underbelly of cybercrime looks like with these organized, you know, multinational cybercrime rings. How do they operate? Who are these people, and in what ways do they organize themselves and perpetrate these cyber crimes?
Well, that's a really good question. And I mean, I do want to just preface this in that I didn't do investigation.
Right.
Oftentimes, people would come to me and victims would come to me because there was sometimes it wasn't a police matter. And it would end up going somewhere else. And oftentimes it would go into the crime prevention unit. So I did speak to a lot of people that were victims, and oftentimes they didn't know where else to turn. Mm-hmm. In particular, with revenge porn and situations that after the fact, I do some online investigations through Toddington International. And I've really had some wonderful opportunities to learn about that dark underbelly in going into the dark web. But I can say that these perpetrators will prey on seniors, they will prey on kids, they will prey on vulnerable people. They don't care, they have no conscience. You know, seniors are particularly at risk because they're very trusting and they do want to believe. And so social engineering, of course, works for them, and these social engineers who have no conscience will take and take and take from seniors in particular until there's, you know, nothing left. They often will use data breaches on corporations, take as much information as they can, and then sell that information, trade it in the dark web. And of course, this is why we have to be on our guard when we are giving out personal information anywhere. Mm-hmm. We have to be on guard when we're giving out personal information, even when we sign up to websites, because, yes, you know, we have to ask, can they protect that information? What are they going to do with it? Who are they going to share it with? And they also, we have to know that that information is going to be a target by these perpetrators that really don't care. They just do it for money, for profit, for revenge, for political gain, for all sorts of reasons. You really don't know what their intent is, but they will just take as much as they can from people.
That's really interesting, Kathy. You know, you were mentioning there about social engineering scams. Yeah. What have you seen, just in terms of broader commentary, in terms of COVID? So are we seeing more scams that are related to COVID? Are these successful scams? Again, maybe from just a personal perspective and or from a business perspective, have scams gone through the roof or have things stayed stable? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, when we think about COVID and what's happened to us as a society over the past, you know, 6 months, I guess, 4 to 6 months,
I think, it's all a blur now.
I know. I mean, emotionally, we are in a state where we are a perfect target for social engineers because we're already emotional. We're already living in fear. Some of us, you know, don't go out of our homes. We're afraid of, I mean, the headlines that we're reading in the media already have our emotions at a pretty high level. So all that has to happen is a subject line from somebody saying, you know, here's a remedy, here's a cure, buy these masks, PPE, whatever, and we will help you. They will target and go for parents who are specifically trying to protect their families, their grandparents. And so they are ready to click on a link. And so we are seeing a dramatic increase in all kinds of scams and frauds and social engineering that really is preying on our emotions because it does overpower our sense of better judgment just because we're already emotionally, wrought. So yeah, there's been a huge increase in scams and cons. I mean, if you talk to anybody, if you look anywhere online, you can see this dramatic increase. I think it was a 260% increase on malicious URLs. So people are going out and they're registering domain names that sound very similar to real domain names, and people will click on those. And of course, what could happen is they could have their networks infected by some sort of a malware, drive-by download. They could be giving up their credit card number to somebody that they don't know. They could be giving out personal identifying information to somebody that is sending them an email or a text message. And so, it's kind of an easy target right now.
And these scammers and fraudsters, are they, you know, at least for the targets the ones being focused on the Canadian, consumers and Canadian population, are those scammers Canadian? Are they American? Are they all over the world? What's sort of their makeup?
Well, again, it's like most of these, phishing and spear phishing and scams, online scams, for the most part, they come from all over the world. They're getting better. They can buy these templates that are already prescribed so that the spelling and the grammatical errors and the syntax errors and things are so much better than they used to be. You used to be able to pick them out right away, but there still are a few telltale signs that you can spot these things. But for the most part, language isn't a barrier anymore, and they are getting better and better all the time.
Are there any stories you alluded to earlier that you could share of, we could call them anonymous victims and maybe some of these victims that the police force or your resources there were actually able to help?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple come to mind. One is an online fraud where a fellow, he had called around and he ended up talking to me. He lived in Toronto, actually. And he was really interested in buying a vehicle, a really nice vehicle. It was a Porsche Panamera. So it was in Dallas, Texas. It was $58,000. He wanted to get this car for his wife. He went to the website. We looked at the website. It professed to be around for about 7 years. Read the testimonials, said that the person that, ran the website was really reputable, gave great service. Not only did they buy one high-end car, but they would buy another one, Ferraris and Maseratis and all the rest of it. So this fellow, his name was Frank, who was the perpetrator. He ended up sending an invoice for $58,000. The victim who I spoke to, the target, I guess, was all set to wire this money to the bank. He had all the credentials and everything else. What we ended up doing was doing a whois search on the URL, finding out that the website had actually just been registered a year before. So it wasn't in business 7 years, it was 1 year. And that the registrant, his email address was donaldduck123@hotmail.com. His address, because you always have to give your address for registering domains, was a house for sale. And his phone number was the probation department in Riverside, California. So anyway, this victim saved himself $58,000. He bought a Porsche Panamera another way. Anyway, he didn't buy it through this dealership. So it saved him some money. So that's, I guess, being proactive, being preventative in nature, questioning everything that you do online. And one of those stories that kind of fell between the cracks because it wasn't a fraud yet. The guy hadn't lost his money yet. So he really didn't have anything he could report to the police at that point. The second story really has to do with revenge porn. Through a file I was working on through Tottington, I ended up meeting a young lady who had been victimized through a sextortion sort of a situation, and her intimate images ended up being posted on well over 900 different websites. So we had to hire a DMCA type of takedown service, and most of these websites complied, but it ended up becoming that, I mean, this young lady was desperate, anxious, depressed, and everything else was happening to her. Her intimate images were getting circulated, and although it didn't happen here in Calgary, because it was so desperate, the Calgary Police Service ended up investigating this file, which I'm really grateful for. They have the capacity, they're really talented, and they're able to take this file. And it was just so outrageous that something had to be done. So they've been working on it now. So, you know, you never know where these files go. And that's why it's so important when there is some type of an incident online and you're really not sure, the best thing to do is to call the police, talk to the dispatcher, and find out if it is a crime. And if it is, report it, because the police need to know the numbers. They need to know the types of people that are perpetrating crime in the area. So it's really important to report these things.
In your experience, Kathy, how big of a problem is cyberbullying? I guess especially for teenagers and children, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is a problem. It is a... one of the problems with it I have found is that everybody thinks that everything is cyberbullying, you know, jokes and teasing and, somebody was, you know, telling a lie about me. Oh, they were cyberbullying me. Well, there actually is a definition for cyberbullying. And that's as of 2015, I believe, that the law in Canada came into effect. And basically what cyberbullying is the dissemination of intimate images in a situation where there was an expectation of privacy, and the victim can be any age. It's not necessarily a person under the age of 18. And so they defined what an intimate image was. They defined that it wasn't just for a person under the age of 18, and that it could be, it's a situation where there was an expectation of privacy. So that's actually what cyberbullying is. And it's a very, very serious situation. And we're seeing it where in schools, specifically, because young kids have their devices, they are sexting and they are taking those intimate images of themselves and sending it to their boyfriends and girlfriends, thinking that those people will keep those pictures to themselves. And as we know, that never happens. They typically will send it to 10 of their friends. And of course, that's when sometimes those intimate images fall into the hands of professional people that are purveyors of revenge porn, and they will post those intimate images on websites all over the world. And then they will get hold of these kids' texts and say, if you don't send me more pictures, we will continue to post your pictures all over. They will use blackmail and coercion and threats. And that's where the problems arise, because these kids feel so helpless, so powerless. They've lost control. They get depressed. And that's where we have seen incidents of suicide, such as what happened with Amanda Todd, the young 15-year-old girl. Such a sad story here in Canada, and also Rutea Parsons, a very similar kind of incident where her intimate images were circulated without her consent. And that's a big part of cyberbullying. The images are circulated without the consent when there was an expectation of privacy.
Yeah, and I know the Amanda Todd issue, I mean, that happened in my hometown of Port Coquitlam, you know, and that rocked the city to its core, you know, and it's sad, you know, that this is happening. But I think it's so important that there are people like you who go out and inform, especially, you know, younger children and young adults. You know, I know as my 10-year-old daughter gets older, you know, that's something that's in the back of my mind worrying about. So, and it's a hard issue to try and educate people on, especially young adults who think they're infallible, you know. So it's you know, we have to do what we can to fight the good fight, and we appreciate you sharing such important information with our audience.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Christian. It's really Dominic, it really is.
I'm the one with hair. Christian's the bald one.
It really is an important topic, you know, and just parents need to, as soon as they give that device to their kids, they need to explain to them, put borders around the photos that they take anyway, and just explain how important it is. Because really, once you take that picture, is out there and you can't do anything about it, wherever it goes, it's
lose control.
It's really tough. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, on that note, we will end the show today. We're just out of time, but we really appreciate you sharing these stories with us and sharing from your experience, Kathy. It's been very valuable for our audience today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for this opportunity, Christian and Dominic.
Thank you, Kathy. I really appreciate it. Kathy is such an eloquent speaker. You know, I could honestly listen to her speak for hours. I'm sure the presentations she gives are incredibly engaging. You could just see that coming through in the conversation we were having with her today. Curious to what some of your key takeaways were.
Yeah, no doubt. I would love to sit in on a few of her presentations. I know on her website, she has multiple there talking about cyberbullying and human trafficking and international organized cyber crime rings. And I was really interested in hearing more about those things. You know, for me, in this era of COVID, that 260% increase in malicious URLs, that was quite a striking statistic.
Yeah.
Very sobering.
Yeah, we're very, very grateful for Kathy for taking time out of her day to chat with us. And there's so much great stuff that she talked about. And again, being aware of scams, especially during this COVID phase right now, when we're all mentally tired, I think that was a really great point there, that we really need to make sure that we stay on top of that. And by spreading this type of information, using our platform to be able to do that is equally important. So as always, we just want to thank all our viewers and listeners for taking 20 minutes out of their day to join us. Please make sure that you check out the Conversations That Matter YouTube page for other awesome episodes or other podcasts under the Conversations That Matter umbrella. But until next time, please be well, be safe, and we'll catch you next Wednesday on the next edition of Cybersecurity Matters.